Buddha, or Buddha Gautama, also known as Shakyamuni Buddha, was a great spiritual master from ancient India. Born as Prince Siddhartha Gautama in the 5th century BC, he would have naturally inherited the vast wealth of a kingdom. However, the prince one day left the palace life in search of spiritual knowledge. After years of contemplative seeking, the Buddha attained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. He then shared the merits of his practice by providing a method for other sentient beings to be freed from the cycle of death and rebirth. The rich treasury of Buddha's spiritual teachings on universal truths are studied and revered to this day for their deep wisdom and compassion. Today we would like to share with you the sage teachings of the Buddha in the Holy Tipitaka, excerpted from the Khudaka Nikaya, the collection of little texts.
Bahia Sutta, about Bahia. I have heard that on one occasion the Buddha was staying near Savati, in Jetta's Grove, Anathapandika's monastery. Now at that time Bahia of the bark cloth was living in Suparaka by the seashore. He was worshipped, revered, honoured, venerated, given homage, a recipient of robes, alms food, lodgings and medical requisites for the sick. Then, when he was alone in seclusion, this line of thinking arose to his awareness.
Now, of those who in this world are arahants, or have entered the path of arahantship, am I one?
Then, a devata, who had once been a blood relative of Bahia of the bark cloth, compassionate, desiring his welfare, knowing with her own awareness the line of thinking that had arisen in his awareness, went to where he was staying, and on arrival said to him,
"You, Bahia, are neither an arahant, nor have you entered the path of arahantship. You don't even have the practice whereby you would become an arahant, or enter the path of arahantship."
But who, living in this world with its devas, is an arahant, or has entered the path to arahantship?
Bahia, there is a city in the northern country named Savati. The Buddha, an arahant, rightly self-awakened, is living there now. He is truly an arahant, and he teaches the Dharma that leads to arahantship.
Then Bahia, deeply chastened by the devata, left Suparaka right then, and in the space of one day and night, went all the way to where the Buddha was staying, near Savati in Jetta's Grove, Anathapandika's monastery. At that time, a large number of monks were doing walking meditation in the open air. He went to them and, on arrival, said,
"Where, venerable sirs, is the Blessed One staying? The Arahant, right self-awakened. We want to see him. He has gone into the town for alms."
Then Bahia, hurriedly leaving Jetta's Grove and entering Savati, saw the Buddha going for alms in Savati, calm, calming, his senses at peace, his mind at peace, tranquil and poised in the ultimate sense, accomplished, trained, guarded, his senses restrained, a great one. Seeing him, he approached the Buddha, and on reaching him, threw himself down with his head at the Buddha's feet and said,
"Teach me the Dharma, O Blessed One. Teach me the Dharma, O One well gone. That will be for my long-term welfare and bliss."
When this was said, the Buddha said to him,
"This is not the time, Bahia. We have entered the town for alms."
A second time, Bahia said to the Buddha,
"But it is hard to know for sure what dangers there may be for the Blessed One's life, or what dangers there may be for mine. Teach me the Dharma, O Blessed One. Teach me the Dharma, O One well gone. That will be for my long-term welfare and bliss."
A second time the Buddha said to him,
This is not the time, Bahia. We have entered the town for alms.
A third time, Bahia said to the Buddha,
But it is hard to know for sure what dangers there may be for the blessed one's life, or what dangers there may be for mine. Teach me the Dharma, O blessed one. Teach me the Dharma, O one well gone. That will be for my long-term welfare and bliss. Then, Bahia, you should train yourself thus. In reference to the seen, there will be only the seen. In reference to the heard, only the heard. In reference to the sensed, only the sensed. In reference to the cognizant, only the cognizant. That is how you should train yourself. When for you there will be only the seen in reference to the seen, only the heard in reference to the heard, only the sensed in reference to the sensed, only the cognizant in reference to the cognizant, then, Bahia, there is no you in terms of that. When there is no you in terms of that, there is no you there. When there is no you there, you are neither here nor yonder, nor between the two. This, just this, is the end of stress.
Through hearing this brief explanation of the Dharma from the Buddha, the mind of Bahia of the Bark Cloth, right then and there, was released from the effluence through lack of sustenance. Having exhorted Bahia of the Bark Cloth with this brief explanation of the Dharma, the Blessed One left. Now, not long after the Buddha's departure, Bahia lost his life. Then the Buddha, having gone for alms in Savatthi, after the meal, returning from his alms, round with a large number of monks, saw that Bahia had died. On seeing him, he said to the monks,
Take Bahia's body, and placing it on a litter and carrying it away, cremate it and build him a memorial. Your companion in the holy life has died.
As you say, Lord, the monks replied. After placing Bahia's body on a litter, carrying it off, cremating it and building him a memorial, they went to the Buddha, and on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As they were sitting there, they said to him,
Bahia's body has been cremated, Lord, and his memorial has been built. What is his destination? What is his future state? Monks, Bahia of the Bark Cloth was wise. He practiced the Dharma in accordance with the Dharma, and did not pester me with issues related to the Dharma. Bahia of the Bark Cloth, monk, is totally unbound.
Then, on realizing the significance of that, the Buddha on that occasion exclaimed,
Where water, earth, fire, and wind have no footing, there the stars do not shine, the sun is not visible, the moon does not appear, darkness is not found. And when a sage, a Brahman through sagacity, has known this for himself, then from form and formless, from bliss and pain, he is freed.
Raja Sutta, Kings. I have heard that on one occasion, the Buddha was staying near Savatthi, in Jetta's Grove, Anathapindika's monastery. Now at that time a large number of monks, after the meal on returning from their alms round, had gathered at the meeting hall, when this discussion arose.
Friends, which of these two kings has greater wealth, greater possession, the greater treasury, the greater stock of riding animals, the greater army, greater power, greater might? King Sanaya Bimbisara of Magadha, or King Pasanadi of Kosala?
And this discussion came to no conclusion. Then the Buddha, emerging from his seclusion, in the late afternoon, went to the meeting hall, and on arrival, sat down on a seat made ready. As he was sitting there, he addressed the monks.
For what topic are you gathered together here? And what was the discussion that came to no conclusion?
Just now, Lord, after the meal, on returning from our alms round, we gathered at the meeting hall when this discussion arose. Friends, which of these two kings has greater wealth, greater possessions, the greater treasury, the greater stock of riding animals, the greater army, greater power, greater might. King Senaya Bimbisara of Magadha, or King Pasenadi of Kosala? This was the discussion that had come to no conclusion when the Blessed One arrived.
It isn't right, monks, that sons of good families, on having gone forth out of faith from home to the homeless life, should talk on such a topic. When you have gathered, you have two duties, either Dharma talk or noble silence.
Then, on realizing the significance of that, the Buddha on that occasion exclaimed,
"Any sensual bliss in the world, any heavenly bliss, isn't worth 1/16th of the bliss of the ending of craving."
Eka-Putta Sutta, the only son. I have heard that on one occasion, the Buddha was staying near Savati in Jetta's Grove, Anathapandika's monastery. Now at that time, the dear and beloved only son of a certain lay follower had died. So a large number of lay followers, their clothes wet, their hair wet, went to the Buddha in the middle of the day, and on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As they were sitting there, the Blessed One said to them,
"Why have you come here, your clothes wet, your hair wet, in the middle of the day?"
When this was said, the lay follower said to the Blessed One,
"My dear and beloved only son has died. This is why we have come here, our clothes wet, our hair wet, in the middle of the day."
Then, on realizing the significance of that, the Buddha on that occasion exclaimed,
"Tied down by what's dear and alluring, heavenly being, most people, worn out with misery, fall under the sway of the King of Death. But those who day and night heedfully abandon what's dear, dig up misery by the root. Death's bait, so hard to overcome."
Upasaka Sutta, the lay follower. I have heard that on one occasion the Buddha was staying near Savati in Jetta's Grove, Anathapandika's monastery. Now at that time a certain lay follower from Ichanangalaka had arrived in Savati on some business affairs. Having settled his affairs in Savati, he went to the Blessed One, and on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, the Buddha said to him,
"At long last, you have managed to come here. For a long time, I have wanted to come see the Blessed One, Lord, but being involved in one business affair after another, I have not been able to do so."
Then, on realizing the significance of that, the Buddha on that occasion exclaimed,
"How blissful it is for one who has nothing, who has mastered the Dharma, is learned. See how they suffer, those who have something. People bound in body, with people." Danda Sutta, the stick. I have heard that on one occasion, the Buddha was staying near Savati, in Jetta's Grove, Anathapandika's monastery. Now at that time, a large number of boys on the road, between Savati and Jetta's Grove, were hitting a snake with a stick. Then early in the morning, the Blessed One, having put on his robes and carrying his bowl and outer robe, went to Savati for alms. He saw the large number of boys on the road, between Savati and Jetta's Grove, hitting the snake with a stick.
Then, on realizing the significance of that, the Buddha on that occasion exclaimed,
"Whoever takes a stick to beings desiring ease, when he himself is looking for ease, will meet with no ease after death. whoever doesn't take a stick to beings desiring ease, when he himself is looking for ease, will meet with ease after death.
Apayuka Sutta, short-lived. I have heard that on one occasion the Buddha was staying near Savatthi in Jetta's Grove, Anathapindika's monastery. Then Venerable Ananda, emerging from his seclusion in the late afternoon, went to the Blessed One. On arrival, having bowed down to him, he sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Buddha, "It's amazing, sir. It's astounding how short-lived the Blessed One's mother was. 7 days after the Blessed One's birth, she died and arose among the Tusita Deva group."
That's the way it is, Ananda. That's the way it is. For the mothers of Bodhisattvas are short-lived. 7 days after the Bodhisattva's birth, the Bodhisattva's mothers pass away and arise among the Tusita Deva group.
Then, on realizing the significance of that, the Buddha on that occasion exclaimed,
"Those who have come to be, those who will come, all will go, leaving the body behind. The skillful person, realizing the loss of all, should live the holy life ardently." We thank you for your company today for Between Master and Disciples here on Supreme Master Television. Healthy Living is up next after Noteworthy News. May all your noble dreams come true.